Outdoors coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors,
beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
By golly, it's a breezy, cool, chilly morning.
25 degrees.
Yeah, well, when I come through Jackson Creek Pass, it was 20.
That's what you call breezy and cool.
Yeah,
huh?
That's what I call breezy and cool.
That's
good
cool.
Morning, everybody. Glad you could join us. Appreciate you tuning in. And give us a call here after a while. This is Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill.
And this is Don Jordan, also on Inside Outdoors. And who are you?
Rich Reardon, and we're all here, and it's great. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, mine was good.
Mine was good.
I couldn't complain. Oh, no, it's great.
How's was yours?
It was great. Awesome.
So everybody...
Well, everybody's happy, evidently.
Everybody's
that's
happy,
good.
Happy
that's good.
Gobbler.
That's good.
Everybody's happy but the gobbler.
Well, we didn't have a gobbler, so we saved his life.
Well,
what'd you have?
Ham.
Well, we had two big old hams there. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Once we'll have one holiday, we'll have a ham, and the other one maybe a turkey. Or, I get tired of eating turkey.
Well, you know, I heard a story on one of these food shows on TV saying that the popularity of a lot of Thanksgiving foods has slipped.
Oh, I'd
including
say,
including turkey. You know. Cranberry sauce.
Oh, I still love that.
Sweet potatoes.
I still like them.
And
turkey.
And pumpkin pie.
And pumpkin pie. We had some of that, too.
Mm, well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
So,
But I still like turkey. I just, they're so big. Most of them are so big that you can't hardly find a small one.
They haven't bred them to be small.
No. And
did you see those ones that Trumpy pardoned?
Oh, weren't they nice big turkeys?
Those birds only live, if they were to let them live, they only live for a couple years.
Is that right?
I didn't realize they grow so fast, I guess, that it, advances their life.
Well,
cycle.
They're kind of like the capon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Boy, they grow fast and big.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we used to do that in school, castrate them, you might say. That's what you call it, more or less. And we'd do that, and man, them dudes would really grow and get big. And
I wonder if you did that to humans, if you could get some big football players.
Well... you could do that, and all that I have seen that's... Of course, you don't hear much about it anymore.
No, they don't do it too often.
But back when they used to do that to humans before these righteous people got trying to control some of the population, I guess you'd call it. But everyone that I saw got pretty darn big.
That's what I understood. And,
that's in animals, too.
Right.
So it, would carry right over.
We are animals.
Well, in a sense, yes.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. And, there were, in the old days in Italy, these singers. I believe they're called the Cassistrati. Is that right, Rich?
Yes, sir.
And they were castrated males who had good singing voices, and it said that those singing voices would literally shake the rafters. They were the most famous and popular of all of the opera singers. So I guess there's lots of things happen when you remove certain items.
Yes, there is. There's yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, on to more happier subjects.
Yeah, let's get on to something that don't hurt so bad.
Well, you want to hear a deer number?
This year?
Yeah.
Already?
Oh, hey, we got a thing on the internet now, the DNR has up, that posts daily results. Every few days or a week, you know. Well, this one is as of 12/6, that's yesterday.
Okay. That's pretty good.
And the total number for the state so far this year is 100,071 deer.
Down a little.
It's down, they actually show you, it's down 15,000 from this time last year.
Really?
Down 15,000.
But, you know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
How many didn't check them in?
Well,
that's the problem.
Yes, that always is a problem, especially now that we have the electronic instead of going to a bait shop or to, you know, a country store somewhere.
And, you know, I mean, unless someone turns you in or you make a big blubber somewhere, there's no way of catching you.
Well, and even if you are caught, as we know from the Putnam County example, the likelihood of anything happening to you is pretty dim,
slim, yes.
According to what's going on around here, you know.
But if you get caught coming out of the field with him, as long as you've got your written out tag that.
As long as you have a license.
And a license, yeah.
Right.
Coming out, you can say, well, I'm going to check it in. I've got 48 hours.
Right, exactly.
So unless that officer follows you around.
Right, exactly.
And
which is not likely. They got other guys to check.
Well, they've got a lot more important things.
Or if that happens, you just check it in because you know you don't want to mess with that.
Right.
And but if you don't get caught, then what really – it's just your – you know, it's up to you. If you're honest, then you check it in.
Well, if you're ethical.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'm saying, well, of course, normally we run around 125,000 a year in that neighborhood anyway.
It hasn't been there that since.
Since they started it?
2015 was the last time we had 125,000.
That was probably about the time they went. No, they started that before that.
Well, they started that. You know, increasing the female, you know, the antlerless. And the last few years, it's really telling because it's dropped from 125,000, 119, 113, 111. This year's going to be less than that.
Well, of course, what didn't help it this year was that EHD.
That's right.
And then they shut a lot of it down to like two does in Monroe and Brown and Green and a bunch of counties. And
I got all those stats on these counties, by the way.
Have you? Each county?
Yeah. I'll just give you a couple of them. Lawrence County is 11,448, which seems like quite a few. Green County, 10,971. Monroe County, 7,567. And we got all that Hoosier National Forest down there.
Yeah, but I don't think there's much in that anymore.
I don't think.
And then there's not the hunting down there that you used to be.
I agree, there's not. You don't see cars parked down there.
Well, since they closed everything off down there and you can't camp or you can't pull off the road.
Yeah, you can't even shoot your pistol down there in the woods anymore.
No, and when they done that, then that right,
I'd say
the feds right that hunting.
I don't know what happened, but I'll take your assessment as
well. That's pretty much what happened. I know. Well, we were still hunting back then when they closed that off and we quit going down there on that account.
Well, and it was some of the most popular areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Owen County, 8,761 deer. Brown County, 7,556.
That used to be a hot county.
Oh, man, not anymore. Can you guess what county has the most? It's almost the same every year.
What is it? Down south there.
Yeah, south, southeast.
What is the name of it? Yeah.
Well, they yodel. They yodel there.
Do they yodel there? Yeah. Down around Posey County.
That, no, you're at the wrong direction. But
I'm the wrong direction.
Switzerland County.
Switzerland, there you go.
Switzerland County.
Yeah, there you go.
Switzerland County. All those counties down there. Dearborn, Franklin County, along the river. Harrison County is actually, I'm sorry, I misspoke, the biggest one, 13,984 deer.
That's
14,000 deer out of one county.
But Switzerland's generally, like you said.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking that. But they're 11,000. They're between 10,000 and 11,000.
Hey, guys, I think I got a comment here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Dan, your fan.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Dan?
Hi, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, good to hear you back, Bill.
Thank you.
Hi. Enjoying the banter, and I'm real glad to hear you all had. You guys sound real jolly this morning. And,
ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, ho, ho, ho. Yeah.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Well, I was just thinking Thanksgiving, they'd never figure out a way to sell anything except all the food, but we would do that anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, you were talking about Thanksgiving, and I spent some time with my brother from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And he's far enough away I can say this stuff about him. if he lived around here, I wouldn't. I want to open up this thing that my brother talked to me about, and what he does is he goes around the country and he designs flashlights. So he's got customers all over the place. And what you've been talking to me about for a couple of years now is use of public lands. And he's kind of been getting involved in, I don't even really know what this organization is, but they're about anglers, that's fishermen, right?
And right.
Anglers, and they're kind of, they're just kind of getting the word around that everything out there that's public land is owned by all of us. And what we do and what we always do, and especially here in Indiana, is we just allow somebody else to take care of it. And we have all these. So I'm not going to say I have an opinion on this. I'm just going to kind of throw this out there and let you guys kind of, you know, talk it over. But it's this thing of are we going to put people in charge of public land use the way we have it almost everywhere? And then Joe and I end up talking about how they do it in different states. And I had learned not long ago that when you go to Texas, which is the biggest state we have besides Alaska, almost everything is privately owned. There isn't, like we have in Indiana, just all this state and national forest that's... Well, so what I'm bringing up with you, and what I'd like to hear you all, you know, your opinions about is, what are we doing with this situation where somebody else takes care of that? And for me, the only opinion I'm going to have is that the problem is that the people in charge of it are politicians. And we, you know, you guys talk about it enough, I can throw this joke out. You know when that politician is lying, it's when his lips are moving.
True, very true.
Yep. So I'll leave you with that. It's kind of a wide open question, and I sure appreciate what you do here, and thanks for listening to me.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate your questions and advice, and answers and what have you.
I want, before you leave, when you say other people taking care of it, you mean privately held land, right?
No. I was saying that, I'm saying, like, let's look at the way we do this thing in Indiana, and compared to Texas, everything here is in the hands of people that run for office. And look at what people running for office do in any kind of office, you know. They're at the whim of, well, their popularity. They got to get votes again, right? So who are you going to take care of? Well, people that will keep you in office. And we know what that means.
Sure.
So okay. I don't want those people taking care of the woods outside my house. I want us to take care of that. I want you guys and me and everybody that uses it to be in charge of that. We'll see how I'm offering my opinion. I was trying not to do that.
That's okay.
That's my problem with it, yeah.
That's okay. We understand that, yeah, this is a hot topic right now, actually.
It's a hot topic, yeah. So, hey, one thing for you, Don, I think you can find this out. My brother told me the name of this group, and you know, it's something like, it's not the Sierra Club, but it's something like Anglers and Hunters.
I have it right here on my, I already got that. That's the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
That's right. I was trying to think of that backwoods.
I'm on their Facebook page right now, and they have the Public Landowner Film Fest.
That's right. So Joe gave me a decal that's on the bumper of my beat-up pickup. So you see this beat-up pickup running around, and it says Public Landowner on the bumper.
Right. Well, that's because we do own all that land.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what some people forget.
Well, most of them forget.
And want to sell it off or rent it out or lease it to.
And that's where he says the politicians is the one that owns it.
Well,
they try to run it.
And I'm saying we decide what's done with that, and what people before us have done, all of us, is we say, well, those people over there are in charge of this, and I'm saying let's go back and revisit that idea and say, who do we want taking care of our yard?
All right.
Well, I personally would like professionals taking care of this land, but the professionals anymore are so worried about politics that they really can't do or say what they need to do.
Well, that's true.
I hear banjos, keep paddling.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in. We'll talk about this in a minute.
Thank you. We got to take a break.
You.
All right.
See you, Dan.
See you, and thanks for calling in. We got to take a little break, so folks, don't go away. Stay right where you're at, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online, WFHB.org. It is right now 25 degrees in downtown Bloomington. Looks like it's going to be sunny today. But gosh, 44 is a high. I guess we can appreciate that because it's going to be 48 tomorrow. It's going to start raining by Monday and then down to 33 and 26 in the middle of the week next week as a high. Maybe a little chance of snow. So not looking too good for next week, but what can you say? It's December. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors.
Well, that's public land stuff needs a lot of work done to it.
Well, right now it's really under assault because, as we know and have mentioned already, the current attitude in Washington is that this public land needs to be turned over to private hands.
Mm-hmm.
And is being sold off, leased off, rented off, sharecropped by cattle grazers. There's just too many people with too much money that have their fingers
in
the pie.
Right.
And
they control it.
And it's us guys, like me, who has no country land anymore, that we depend on public land and public waters.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we have to go to hunt and fish, unless we have a friend who owns a farm. And I just, during the break, we were talking about this, and the stats out of this new deer harvesting thing show that there's three times more deer harvested on public land or on private land.
Private, yes.
On private land than there is on public land in Indiana. There isn't hardly any public land in Indiana. What little we have is being logged.
Yeah, been destroyed.
It's just incredible. And we have no control over that. And maybe that's what Dan was talking about, that we have no control over what the government does.
Well, we don't.
Because
they said that it was going to cut all the trees in Yellowwood, and that's what they've done. They didn't go on what the people said.
No, that's absolutely right.
Same way with the Morgan Monroe. They just come in and cut it off, and they didn't ask anybody's opinion. They just said, we're going to do it.
And that's exactly what the Forest Service is doing down there at Lake Monroe.
And that's exactly what, there you go.
There's the federal government doing it to us, and there's the state government doing this to us.
They're all doing it.
So,
well, and if you remember, I asked Peggy Welch on here one time, a long time ago, when she was running. I said, "If you're representing this district, why are you voting for I-69? Because everyone I know is not into it." But see, that didn't seem that kind of made her face turn red, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, we know why. Is because of the money. It's always the money. There's a lot of jobs and materials and machinery involved in building an interstate highway, and every one of those has a buddy in the state legislature.
But that while you're on this I-69 and being as you brought it up, it was bad enough to build it. I'm like thousands of other people. I didn't think it was necessary of all the land and stuff that it destroyed, plus the waterways, the creeks. They were all had silt from this road. Now, that's only a part of it. We've got the road. They build it, and what are we doing? They turned it loose, signed off on it, and how many hundreds of thousands of dollars has it cost the taxpayers already to put riprap on hillsides that's caving in and sliding off into the road? And
more like millions of dollars, Bill.
Yeah, well, true. You cross a bridge, and the highway is 6 inches lower than the bridge.
Right.
You go through the top of the ceiling of your car. Well, we have to go in there, and we have to build that up. And who pays for it? The taxpayers. Now, whoever signed off on that, and I've been in this business before myself, whoever signed off on that, I feel sorry for him, because he's going to get a lot of blame for stuff that he should have taken care of, and it's costing the taxpayers millions of dollars.
The example of the Highway 46 exits up here off of 69, they're open one week and close the next, you never know what direction you're going to have to go to get on that road, and they're raising the highway levels, to try to make those depressions at the bridges that you were just talking about better. But as far as I can tell, one of them is actually worse
than it was,
and they're going to do it over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's how many times do they have to get the highway right? Why do we have these incompetent highway builders,
engineers, and well, I know of one engineer that was on I-69, know him real well, worked with him for four, that got fired because he said this road is not right, they fired him.
That's what you do with people who want the right thing to happen.
Yeah, they fired him right then.
They're swimming against the money.
Mm-hmm. And when Daniel's, this was all Daniel's guns.
He started it.
And he was bound and determined to have this road in before he left office. And, of course, he left office before it's done. But there's enough of it now that they're trying to get it plumbed to 465. But he was bound and compelled to have this road started and built, most of it, when he left office, and he did.
And
he didn't care. He didn't. It didn't matter how they built it, get it done.
He officially changed the standards for the amount of pavement that had to be put down.
Right.
Down to 1 inch. And it used to be 3 inches, I guess.
Four.
4 inches. Mm-hmm. Well, you would know. And now it's 1 inch. Yep. So how long do you think that road?
And besides that, a lot of it was laid on dirt.
Just on dirt, no prep.
On dirt, because I've seen that. I've seen that myself.
There you go.
You can drive around and watch them and see them paving on dirt.
And there's hardly anything that more. There's hardly any more public land in Indiana than exists within the highway system. That's the biggest landowner in the state of Indiana.
Well, you take them big fields where they, 30, 40 foot deep. We had to fill in to build the road. That's going to settle for years. I don't care what they say. That's going to settle. I don't care how many dozers they put on it to pack it. That's going to settle for years.
Yes.
And that's where you're getting a lot of your problem from your road separating from your bridges.
Oh, yes. Boy.
Well, especially with the big trucks going over it. And, hey, we got a phone call here. Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's John.
How you doing, guys?
John got up this morning.
Oh, I get up every morning. I just don't get much done.
Well, we're glad you get up, that's for sure.
That's my main goal.
Yeah, there you go.
As long as we do that, we got a good start. You guys started out in a pretty good mood. You've got pretty...
surly?
Yeah, you've got pretty honor here as we went on. I think Dan got you fired up about the land deal, and he's right. It is a mess, and our biggest problem, and I've talked with you guys before, we don't have a group large enough to make a dent in any of these procedures they decide to do. And if we don't get a big group or at least a fiery, we need to elect a politician that doesn't act like he's an activist and then gets elected and then acts like an activist. Because we need somebody to organize against some of that stuff or it's never going to end. It's gone too far, guys. It's like Don says, it's all, or Dan, it's all about the money. And, the politicians think they're the government. They're really not the government, but they become the executors of what the government's going to do, and it's going to keep hurting us.
Well, that's the reason why politics is important in taking care of things. And people have different opinions about it. Some people don't want to protect anything. Some people want to protect everything.
Right, and there's a middle ground, but we've kind of lost the middle ground.
We certainly have.
Land, you know, unless you get a group of Native Americans that form a committee and try to protect something out west, we just don't have that going on, you know.
Well, you can see what happened to them out there in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. I know. At least they didn't all get killed. There's just one, I think.
And, of course, that's still leaking oil, that Keystone
sure
Pipeline.
I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying they're the only ones that got any attention at all.
Well,
On a lighter note, have you guys seen this remote-controlled goose deterrent?
No.
It was on the news this morning. I'm sure it's been around a while because it looked like the guys used it quite a bit. He goes around where people are having geese problems in the parks, and he runs this pretty good-sized outfit. It's on skis, but it goes on grass or anything. And it looks terrible to me. It's painted orange with a real big toothy mouth and a bunch and big eyes, and it scares the heck out of those geese.
Well, actually, until I heard of this, which sounds like it would be good, is there were guys that had Scottish border collies,
yeah.
And they would turn them loose where the geese were, and you know they are so active, they keep those geese flying all the time.
And you're exactly right. If we had enough guys doing that, it'd probably work. But this guy, he's got himself a moneymaker here. I can't remember what, a goose eliminator or something like that.
Where did you see this, John?
On Channel 8 this morning about 6 o'clock.
Well, we'll see if we can find that while we're here on here this morning.
Yeah, it's a novel idea, but the guy has come up with it on his own. I thought it was kind of cool. Now, talking about your deer populations, the hunting results, they say, I saw an article, I didn't clip it, but a week or so ago, where they're going to talk about raising taxes because hunting licenses are down so far.
Well, somebody has to pay for the DNR.
Right, and I never minded that's what my hunting license
was. No, that's what we wanted to do.
I was tickled to death that's where it went, instead of building a road to nowhere. Also, over here in Owen County, a week or two ago in the early deer season, some people had a bullet go through their house. Did you see that, Dan?
No.
I didn't either.
It came from, of course, outside, went through two walls, and lodged in one of their rafters.
Wow.
And it went through their children's sleeping room.
He must have been pretty close.
Nobody was injured, but they did call the sheriff, and the sheriff came out, the deputy came out, and they dug the bullet out, said it looked like a .308.
Yeah, a
.308. So I'm kind of worried about that when Indiana let the rifles back in. I mean, I'm a huge supporter of the Second Amendment, but I'm also a huge supporter of public safety, and I always shotgun slug hunted when I went deer hunting.
There's still quite a few people that use slugs.
Yeah,
still quite
and
a
that, you know, in terms of velocity and distance, they're a lot safer. Even a .30-30's got a lot more distance available if it misses everything in between, you know. So I kind of worry about that. But anyway, that's about the end of my discussion today. Thank you for taking my call, and I hope you all have a great day. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and I'm sure I'll talk again, but I wish you all Merry Christmas.
Okay, thanks,
okay,
John.
Thanks, John.
Same
thanks,
to you.
Thanks a lot, John. Well, yeah, I in Pennsylvania, I hunted with a 30-30, and that's about 100 yards, really, is what it's accurate to. And you're not going to get a bullet going that far, but 308, something like that, that's going to go a ways.
Well, if this, you know, this rifle went through two walls and lodged in a rafter, he must have been pretty darn close.
Yeah.
I mean, a rifle shot from a mile away might hit your house, but it's not going to have much force left when it hits it.
Shouldn't have, no.
Unless it's a, you know, 50 caliber or something.
Hey, we got another caller.
Well, send them on.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, guys, good morning, Alan Rosenberg.
Who's this?
This is Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan, how you doing? Boy, your signal's not too strong this morning, but how are you?
I'm sorry, yeah, I'm going slow myself. I got my double cappuccino here on the way to work, trying to get myself woke up, but I'm going to fix that in a minute. I'm about to go up here to Square Donuts and have a couple of those maple frosted with the white fluff in them. That'll get me going.
Okay, well, that'll get your sugar level up anyway.
It will, and boy, I'm going to need it. So, hey, listen, you know, I was just listening to this discussion regarding cutting of trees, and, you know, it's such an emotional thing around here with so many people. And I just look at, you know, I went to California and Oregon a couple weeks ago to visit the grandkids. And what's interesting is the the different technology that they use, and it's just as fiercely fought over out there, even with the logging industry as big as it is, it's still pretty fiercely fought out there in Oregon. But I would just say, you know, I think part of what we lack here is the expertise to do this correctly. When you look at how they do it out there, I'd go by a hill, a mountain, that had half of it literally just cut down to nothing. You could tell that it was a square that somebody surveyed off, and they took everything off of it. And then you drive down the road a little bit, and you'd see the same thing happen to another patch of mountain, and there'd be little trees planted on it. And you drive down the road a little bit further, and pretty soon you'd see what was clearly new but taller trees that had the same thing done to them, but you could barely tell that it was done because they were becoming adult trees now. You know, I don't see anything like that happen here. And I'm not sure why, other than my guess is it's a pain in the ass to do that. It's kind of a little bit more expensive. And none of the people who cut trees around here have any interest in doing that. They just want to cut the trees and plunder it and take off what they can and leave it the way it is. And that therein, I think, lies the problem. There is technology to actually take these trees. And look, the trees aren't going to live forever. They do have monetary value. And unless somebody's got a sweetheart deal with a head of some government agency to get them for less money, we should be making money off our timber.
Hey, I gotta hold you for just a second. Yeah. You want to hold on? We got to take a real quick break.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll be right back to you guys. But got to take a break.
Yeah, don't go away.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
WFHB is what you're listening to right now. We're in downtown Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. If you miss our show, you can always listen to it there or on our website, which is InsideOutdoorsRadio.com. And it looks like we're about 25 degrees still in downtown Bloomington. It's going to be sunny today, 44. High of 51 tomorrow, then a chance of showers down to, 54 on Monday. But then it's going to change. That looks like a front coming through, and then it's going to be in the 30s and 20s midweek next week. So watch out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors.
It ain't a bunch of beans serve in the Navy.
Uh-uh.
It's bacon and eggs,
biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy,
bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs.
When I get
out of bed, my belly big.
For biscuits and gravy,
bacon and eggs.
That's biscuits and gravy.
Yoo-hoo. And I'm going to get right back to this caller. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I'm just singing along there.
Okay. That's good.
But I just thought that, you know, the way this is done in places where this has been fought over, I think, a lot more diligently than here and a lot more effectively. And in an area where there's massive amounts of jobs and money to be made in the Pacific Northwest, they figured out a way to do this. I don't think we figured out a way to do this to make anybody happy. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, whether it's Lake Monroe, whether it's Yellowwood, whether it's National Forest or wherever it is, you know, they found a way to make sure that they're their original stands of trees, the original stands of redwoods, they're still standing. Nobody's going to cut them down. But there's millions of acres of forest there, and they found a way to do it and do it in a way that sustains the forest. You may not like what happens for the first 15 years in your area, but in 15 years, you won't be able to tell that they did it because of the way they do it. And I think that's what we're missing here.
Okay, Alan, we appreciate your opinion, as usual. Thanks for calling in this morning.
What's that?
I said thank you for calling in. We appreciate your opinion.
You bet. You guys have a great weekend.
Be safe out there.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
So.
Yes. Well, back, I was thinking there about replanting. I don't think Indiana replants anything.
We do not.
And, you know, like I've said before, when I cut a tree in the yard that's dying or rotted or whatever, I try to plant two back.
Right.
That's my theory. You don't have to do that. Nobody has to do that. But I like my trees. And when I cut a tree, I try to put two back in its place. And that way, if one does die or for some reason or another, you've still got another one going.
Well, just think what would happen if everybody planted a tree a week.
Oh, my.
You know?
Yeah.
Just think how many trees that we would have out there. It's a minor kind of thing. It's not hard.
No.
And they grow here.
I know back when I was in high school, in particular, they had a program. I can't remember the program. I was in agriculture at the time, majoring in agriculture, and me and Phil Smith was two. Of course, Phil's already passed on, but we would go out and set out trees for people, a lot of pine trees at that time. And I don't know where all we did go. I know the Dunns, Pete Dunn and them had a place out here by Unionville that had a lot of pines and was real serious with trees. And, of course, that's faded away. You never hear of that anymore. But they're back to the government. They do have a program where you can set aside land now and plant different trees and stuff. So, but there again, very few people have taken advantage of it.
Well, we have many of these land trusts now, too, where you can, if you don't want the government to have their hands on this property that you're leaving, you give it to these land trusts, and they don't really do anything except keep anything from happening to it, which is pretty valuable.
Right.
Pretty valuable. And I wanted to add back to Alan's call. He's talking about those tract cutting, you know, where they cut everything. Well, the nature of the trees out west is different than it is here, because there's so many of the same species, and that is industrial logging when they do that. And when they're replanting, they're usually replanting everything of the same species.
Variety.
And you see that in Florida, you see it in Wisconsin, you see it all over. What you have are these they call them biological deserts. You got a big stand of pine trees with nothing else to support wildlife. And I guess that's good if it's a commercial product that you're looking for. But if you're looking for a nice woods, you want to go down here in the Hoosier National where they haven't logged for a long time, which is kind of hard to find.
Yeah, that's hard to find anymore because they've really.
Well, you want to see what a woods should look like? Drive down there by Paoli to that Pioneer Mothers National Memorial Forest.
Right.
That's 70 acres of trees that are as near to virgin or untouched as we have in the state of Indiana, the biggest plot.
I think that is the biggest area.
Yes, it is.
Area.
And there are big trees down there. You want to see what a walnut tree looks like? Go down there, you can see one that's 100 feet tall. You know, so a tree's so big you can't get your arms around them. Well, that's what we would like to see on our public lands, not harvested stumps.
Well, of course, I realize you got to keep some of them cut out due to the fact that they're dying or they're getting wobbly to where, you know, they're getting old and going to fall or something. And I can realize going in and cutting that. But whenever they go in and cut, they rape the whole
hillside. It's the whole deal. They can't make any money, they say, unless they cut everything.
Yeah, they got to cut everything. Well, when you know what it looks like when they get uncutting.
Yes, well, we've seen
that.
Remember when McCloskey went down to the Hoosier National after a big clear cut down? Do you remember that?
I faintly remember that.
That's Congressman Frank McCloskey.
Who's gone now.
And he went down there and said it looked like Apocalypse Now is what he said. It was on the front page of the paper, I recall. And they had a picture of it, just, you know, this big devastated area. Well, hopefully they're not doing that anymore, but I know they are.
They are. Sure.
They are. Right. And that outfit, by the way, the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, that's on Facebook. It's easy to find. Just type that in your little search line up there, and you can find out everything you need to know about this outfit and what they're doing and whether or not you want to be involved. And it's really crucial that people begin to realize and act upon the fact that these public lands are ours. They don't belong to the logging companies. They don't belong to the grazers and the big ranchers. They don't belong to anybody except us.
Everybody.
And they need to be managed in that way, and not for a corporation, not for a politician.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Dan, I guess, said earlier when he called in.
Well, first thing a governor gets elected, he thinks he owns it all, and he goes in, and that's what happened at Morgan Monroe and Yellowstone, Yellowwood. They think they own everything.
Yes, well, and it's not constant. We had a Republican governor, Orr, you remember? He set aside those trees up in Morgan Monroe. To be a heritage woods or that would never be cut. And what's the first place that they decided to cut when they put the pressure on?
Morgan Monroe.
Heritage woods. Right. So, because that was the trees that was worth the most money.
Well, Orr done something good, and I think that was under Daniels, wasn't it?
Yes, that's where it started.
Yeah, he come in and said, well, I own that. I'm going to cut everything down there.
Well,
that was wrong.
It's accelerated.
And how they let him get by with it, the House and Senate should have stepped in and said, no, you can't do this because Governor Orr set this aside years ago. But no, politicians own it all, and
they go with whatever seems to be the most beneficial thing for them.
What's good for me?
My county gets 18 cents a tree, right? So,
well, let's have some of that.
Yeah,
let's just give them away.
Mm-hmm.
I might get a bigger contribution to my political fund from the guy that gets to cut them.
Oh yeah, he'll help you out.
Well, there you go, folks.
Hey, well, I wanted to talk about something real quick.
Well, you go right ahead and take your time.
I stopped by for the first time at the Cedar Bluffs
Nature
Preserve.
That's a good place.
That's a nice little spot, isn't
it?
That's out there on the south side, not too far from where I live. And we had kind of driven by there a lot of times, saw people in there, but never gone in. And we walked down late last night, right around sunset. And it is such a little beautiful place. It's a little bit tough to, a little challenging to get in there because it's kind of slippery and there's some bluffs and this and that. But you get down there and it's called Cedar Bluffs for a reason. There's a lot of cedars around and the white trees and the river there. It's a real beautiful little spot.
Yes, it's one of the better things that Monroe County managed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that in the city?
No, that's county.
That's county.
I thought it was. That's also a nice little stretch of the creek down there.
Clear Creek.
Yeah, and that stretch of creek, even as polluted as it is, has some smallmouth bass in it.
Hmm.
Are they coming back?
In the rocky areas.
Mm-hmm.
There are some fish in there. I don't know how reliable a fishing hole it would be, and I certainly wouldn't eat any of them. But if you want to catch them, you know, it might be a fun place to try. Think about this next spring, you know.
Yeah, because down that far, all the sewage out of Bloomington is drifting that away.
It's in there. Yeah, it's in there.
Well, and it's got some history. I was talking to somebody, this was not last night, but recently about it, and there's a little story about how there was a troop of soldiers looking for the Indians, and they hid down there by the bluffs, and they couldn't see them down because of, you know, it was so tall right in that area, and they kind of hid out and were able to avoid getting wiped out by the troops back in this is in the late 1700s, and so it's got some history. A lot of Indian relics around there. You can find some arrowheads and stuff, and very interesting place. And like I said, just beautiful. The creek there is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a nice spot. I'm glad you mentioned that. It kind of, on a larger scale, the state has Hemlock Cliffs, which I don't know whether you've ever been to or heard of.
I've heard of it, but I don't know where it is.
It's south of here, and that's a very dramatic place and very unusual vegetation. It has hemlock trees. You know, you don't see many of those.
No.
There's a nice rock shelter there and a cliff, and you know, it's worth going to look at.
Is that what the pandas eat?
They eat hemlock? Bamboo.
Bamboo, that's right, bamboo.
No, it was Socrates that ate hemlock.
Is that what?
Right?
Okay.
And it was his last meal.
Yeah. Ooh, mercy. Was there any Indians down there when you was down there?
I did not see any.
You didn't see an Indian?
No.
Did you ride Ned in this morning, by the way?
No, I didn't. It was a little cool, and Ned said, I think I won't stay home.
Yeah, you might have been a little cool, too.
Well, when we come, like I said, when we come through Jackson Creek Pass, it was 20 degrees.
So, well, it's that time of year.
And old Ned, he was, he's not old. He's not that old, but he just didn't want to get out this morning.
Well,
I don't blame him.
No, me either.
No.
More power to him.
My poor little old kitty cat didn't even want to get out of the house. He's on his perch, and he never even said goodbye to me when I left.
Cats like to be warm.
And we did want to bring up and say sorry about your cat, which just passed this week. And
That's too bad, Don. You lost your buddy.
Yes, Toes, 17 years old. Got her at the animal shelter in Inverness, Florida.
Inverness, Florida. Yeah, I know where that's at.
Yeah, and she was with me for a long time. She'd been to Montana, to Florida, and every place in between with
me. Oh, yeah?
She was a good traveler, and I miss her.
Well, I imagine you do, because you take a nice dog or a kitty cat or whatever, they're almost human.
Part of your family.
Sure they are. You hate to lose one, because he or she is part of you. And
well, here's the Toes. I miss you.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Hemlock Cliffs, I'm looking at, that's down pretty much to the river. That's below
it's
English.
Down there.
And,
right. It's right. It's on 37, isn't it?
Yeah, right off 37. Right. It looks like it's kind of a dead-end road. It's off 237.
Yes, it's out in the boondocks, and it's quite a place. And
I've never been there.
That looks like a place to go. I'd like to go check that out.
It's nice and cool down there in the summertime when it's really hot. You'd be surprised how the temperature difference
Different down in there.
That's definitely out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the map right now, and it's...
You used to be able to tent camp there up in the parking lot,
uh-huh.
But I don't think they allow that anymore, which is too bad, because there was never a big rush of people to camp down there, but it was a nice place if one guy or a couple, you know, wanted to stay overnight and then walk the cliffs in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are other camp places around that area, but not right
there.
See,
Clifty Falls is down.
Clifty in Madison, isn't it?
Madison, yeah, it is Madison.
Yeah, and
we've got several places in Indiana if you just sit down and.
Absolutely.
They're small places, but they're nice places, and
we've saved a little bit.
Yeah, we've saved a little, and if you've got just a day you want to do something, why? You can explore wherever it's at.
I got to mention that yesterday I was outside quite a bit. The sandhill cranes were on the move. You know, you hear them way up there, you know, for miles off. You can hear them coming. And here, pretty soon, here they come. They were just underneath the clouds, and you know that wah, wah, wah.
Were they going south?
They were heading. They were actually heading towards the east. They were going towards Seymour, which there's a bunch of them hanging out south of Seymour now, over in Jackson County.
Oh yeah.
And in a bunch of those river bottoms over there.
Hey, I hate to say it, but we got 10 seconds.
You didn't look. Don't look like you hate to say it, but that's all right.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Don. But
that's all right.
We'll
I was
bring
done.
It up next week.
Well,
done.
Thanks for listening, folks. Glad we you could join us this morning, and hopefully we was of some information and. To you, so we'll see you next week. We got to get out of here. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.